It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's f***ing.
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports 1140.
Just finishing up the conversation. Good talk. Kevin on the YouTube chat, we're having a good back and forth. So Dave, I feel sorry for you. It's the best time of year for bad teams. Which is so true. And you choose to be meh. What a way to live your life. Get on the roller coaster and live. I would say this, just tangibly. I mean, it's easy to say get on the roller coaster and live. If for six, and to your point about the 16 years, I get it. But honestly, if for 16 straight years you got on the same roller coaster and at some point during the ride it threw you off and you splattered against a wall and then had to go to rehab and then you came back the next year and you got back on the roller coaster and they're like, okay, we fixed this thing and there's a really good chance, like, we think you're going to make it to the end of the ride. Okay, and you get back on the ride and now you go through a loop-de-loop and you fall down and you splat on the floor. And then you go through rehab again, and on and on and on, you get my point. And then somebody says, dude, come on, man, you haven't been on the roller coaster yet. They fixed it. This is the time to believe. Get on that roller coaster and live. They're seeing both my middle fingers because I'm tired of going through emotional rehab. So you go on the roller coaster and you continue to break your bones. That's fine. I'm still rooting for the roller coaster to work. I want it to work. I pray that it works. But I'm not going to go through those highs and lows right away.
Okay. I just feel like that thought process, that mentality would then shift and move the goalposts if the Kings were 16 straight years in the playoffs without winning a championship at some point. It's like, well, why am I getting on this ride? Because it doesn't end in a parade. That would be really fantastic to have 16 years of straight of making
right.
the playoffs. Only one team wins it.
It's so a perspective.
I think you're,
you're 100% right.
I think that kind of fandom would move the goalpost and be frustrating.
You're 100% correct.
As it would still be for the optimistic fan, because it's like, this is our year. We're going in as the ones, like Phoenix the last 2 years now.
Yeah.
Like, we're the best team in the league. They didn't get a championship. They were great. They were really good. They had a miserable exit last year.
I know you're right because I did it. Yeah. I did it against the Seattle Sonics. Mm-hmm. I think it was the second round of the playoffs.
First
round of the playoffs. Thank you. The Jerome James playoffs.
Yeah.
I remember being so freaked out at the end of that. Like, dude, what a failure. This team is stupid. Why do we keep signing mid-level exemptions that suck? This is horrible. But now I'd be like, oh, my God, make the playoffs. Like, yeah, the first round, I would give a finger to do that.
Right.
Like, it's an environmental thing. And you're right, the goalposts do change. But right now the goalposts are, like, literally upside down and buried in mud. And, like, there's a flock of sheep on top of them grazing.
Wow.
And, like, grass is grown over it. Yeah, flock of sheep, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't just do the whole, you know, but as we move on, I do not blame anybody. I'm never going to be like, ha ha, stupid Kool-Aid drinker. Like, if you choose to believe, that is you.
Oh,
fan.
Yeah.
Right. Kool-Aid's crash good. Through the door.
Yes.
Big purple Kool-Aid with some W's. That's how you, God bless you. And I'm a little jealous. I'm broken. I'm a little broken on the inside.
Just bust through with your popcorn.
Oh, yeah. Dolphins, Bengals, tonight. This time it's for real. 5:15, Thursday Night Football. Bengals 1-2, Dolphins 3-0. Bengals favored by 3.5 at home against the 3-0 Dolphins. The Dolphins and Eagles and Jay, you put this together, and this is awesome stuff. I want to make sure you get credit for that. The Dolphins and Eagles are the last undefeated teams in the NFL at 3-0. Last year, God, I forgot about this. Last year, the last undefeated team was Arizona at 7-0.
And they were a first-round exit.
They were a first-round exit.
Kind of limping going in.
They were very much. And, yeah. I mean, there were other circumstances involved there. I actually remember this more. I remember Pittsburgh at 11-0, and they just took a dumpski.
Yes. And no one, when they were 11-0, no one thought they were good. Like, they were 11-0. Like, yeah, they're a fraud.
Yeah, I that was weird. It was weird that they were 11-0.
Yeah.
And then it was weirder how much they sucked to end the year. The last time the last remaining undefeated NFL team won the Super Bowl. This is crazy. 16 years ago, 2006, when the Colts won it all after a 9-0 start. Was that Peyton Manning, Edgerrin James, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne?
Some iteration of that for sure. Yeah.
Jeff Saturday. The 2016 Vikings and 14 Eagles are the last two teams that didn't make the playoffs after being the last undefeated team left in the NFL.
Yeah, so, I mean, 3-0 is not like, you know, if it ends this week and both the Eagles and Dolphins lose, it's like, all right, 3-0 is not that big a deal. But if they get to 7-8-9, you know, that seems sure. like a pretty good path for success. But the Dolphins have a weird 3-0 to me. They stole the game against the Ravens.
Yes.
And last week certainly could have gone the other way. But they should enjoy it. I think they are improved. I think it's a good team. And tonight's another good test for them.
Was it the Dolphins? I'm looking right now. Yeah. I remember the Dolphins. It was 2020. The Dolphins went 10-6 and missed the playoffs. Mm. This actually, weirdly enough, the Dolphins haven't been under 500 in 3 years. This will be their third year.
Doesn't seem like it.
But doesn't seem like it. It's kind of funny going back to the conversation we've been having about the Kings. I wonder where Dolphin fans are right now emotionally. Like, mm-hmm. like, is it Super Bowl or bust? Or are they just going to be stoked to make a little noise in the playoffs? I seem to remember, wasn't it, to the point on the research you did, wasn't it, I felt like 3 out of 4 years sometime in the maybe early 2000s, wasn't it Dick Vermeil's Chiefs? Who was coaching the Chiefs? No, it was Schottenheimer. Duh. When they had Priest Holmes. Mm-hmm. I swear to God they were the last undefeated team in the NFL for like 5 straight years, it seemed like, and could never do it in the playoffs.
One. Yeah.
The NFL, one of the most unique, and I guess this is the same for any sport, but it just, Jason, the NFL almost becomes a different sport in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and remember the year it was the Colts, Peyton, not this 9-0, but they were like 14-0, and people, like, maybe it's better if they lose at the end. Same with the Patriots when they went 18-0, didn't get to the 19th.
Yeah.
That thought wouldn't come up, I don't think, in the NBA because you have a series. Like, right. Hey, would it be better if the Warriors didn't break the record because, I mean, they ended up losing that year, but I don't think that had anything to do with them breaking the regular season record. They just got into a series and didn't hang on to a 3-1 lead. When it's one game.
Yeah.
I mean, we know in the NFL anything can happen. We are happy watching the Niners peak at the end of last year. They weren't great throughout a lot of the season. But at the very end, they were playing their best. Then they get a couple of playoff wins and were almost, you know, a good fourth quarter away from being in the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, it's...
And that was a Cardinal team that started 7-0 and looked way better than the Niners. Became a team that was long gone.
It's so crazy. I mean, obviously injuries and all that's very explainable. But even beyond injuries, it's something else. It's just teams take on... And I find also generally the teams that have better defenses, it seems, they seem to take on a different feel as the season goes on. And a lot of it, I think, is just attrition. There are some teams, you come out of the box, you're healthy, you're feeling good, but as the season becomes that grind, that's where the Niners and the Rams and those teams that are either the healthiest or the trenchiest, if you will, are the ones that have the best time. Couple of things here. At 8:27, by the way, after we talk to JT O'Sullivan next, we will talk about just how much of an even bigger piece of garbage Brett Favre is. Now it's like, I hope they sanitize the seat he was in at Golden 1 Center.
Is that bad?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It is that absolutely gross. Minneapolis will host Chiefs Bucks. If they, in fact, relocate, although it does...
It seems like, I mean, again, there's major devastation, but things rally pretty fast. I think the game will be able to I think. It's just horrific stuff happening there.
Yeah, it seems like they'll be able to. But and obviously, I mean, for any of you that saw the Hurricane Ian coverage, in fact, we're watching some of it. We have it on one of the TVs in here right now. It just, like, on one hand, I want it... I'm split. I was watching, as were you and so many others yesterday, when it made landfall, 155-plus mile-an-hour winds. Cat 4 right on the edge of being a Cat 5 hurricane. And you were watching Fort Myers and Punta Gorda and all these different places just getting killed. And part of me is honestly, and I'm saying this fully aware that people have lost their lives, but I can't help but that part of me is like, I almost don't know how it wasn't worse. Mm-hmm. Like, that thing, and you had all these different reporters saying this is the worst hurricane I've ever been a part of, this is the worst hurricane I've ever been in. I mean, this is the country that had Katrina and so many others. And you hate to say that when there's been loss of life, but it looks like, look, knock on wood, looks like whether it's learning lessons from hurricanes in the past or people evacuating, and there's still so much more to go. So I don't want to jinx anything, but a lot of the reports you're hearing is that, well, this held, and the damage.
Amazing.
Yeah, because some of the winds there. Point being, get back to football now, it seems like they may be able to run the show in Tampa this weekend, yeah. But obviously that's like the millionth priority down the list.
Yeah, and I mean, it's Thursday. There probably has to be a sense of finality on that by early tomorrow, because, yeah. I mean, they got to figure out literally two teams going to a different location. I know it seems, hotels and locations and flights, and I mean, it's all doable. That can be done quickly, but, you know, you need a little lead time.
Finally, Davante Adams was targeted 17 times by Derek Carr, had 10 catches for a $141 in the Raiders' debut game against the Chargers with them. Since then, in two games, Adams has been targeted a combined 17 times, has 7 catches for 48 yards in losses to the Cardinals and Titans. The Broncos are coming up this weekend. That might be the best defense they've faced, along, obviously, with the Chargers. Davante says, quote, all the Green Bay people will definitely be on that trying to compare stats and all that. We're not doing this thing for stats at the end of the day. I mean, of course you're going to do that. They're going to compare Davante Adams.
Naturally.
Here's the thing. If the Raiders and Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels, if their goal is to match or exceed Davante Adams' stats from last year, they're not going to be a very good team.
Right.
Because guess what? Other teams are really going to focus on that. And we've seen that. Take away Devontae. The Raiders have to prove they can win, which they haven't yet, with Davante Adams not being the main focus, with it being Darren Waller or Josh Jacobs or Hunter Renfro or whoever the heck it is. They haven't been able to do that yet.
Right.
0-3.
Big game for them. Denver, I mean, that's almost like a desperate must win, but finding Adams would be helpful.
Dare I say the Raiders are the best 0-3 team in the NFL?
You could say it.
I think they are.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. When we come back, old friend and familiar face, JT O'Sullivan, UC Davis, joins us to talk Jimmy Garoppolo and so much more. We're right back.
Your home for the most comprehensive 49ers coverage.
Debo, Bosa, to our very own Armstead.
The 49ers Authority, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
The only local sports show in the morning.
On Sactown Sports 1140.
Welcome back. JT O'Sullivan. UC Davis.
Niner. Yeah.
I know. It's like he played for the Niners.
Yes.
And
keep propping Davis, which is great. Jesuit.
I think it's because I was interning here when he was at Davis, and one of my intern shifts was with Steve Goss on the weekends when he was board hopping the UC Davis games.
And so, the big show.
Right. So even though he certainly did.
That's
a lot
just how
more,
you remember him. That's your place.
Yes.
And he was obviously a great quarterback. I'm anxious to talk to him because what he's doing, you pointed out to me, is interesting. And I think he has a different kind of perspective, that game film type breakdown. And yeah, I would really like, and we got a lot of good intel the other day from Sean Salisbury on that, but just someone that's really breaking down the tape, I think that's good to know about how Jimmy G is playing, because I think a lot of people, once Trey Lance got hurt, thought, oh, good, Jimmy G's not necessarily the savior, but this team's going to be better. First game was fine. Last game was not. Jimmy G was just so bad, and he's better than that. We know that, but how much better is he? And,
right.
And what... is he doing something mechanically wrong? Like, I wonder how many times, too. I know when we've talked to, like, this year when we went to training camp for the A's, like, Sean Manaea even said, he goes, oh, yeah, the amount of times I feel great on the mound correlating to wins is it. He goes, it's more about the days you're not right and what you get out of yourself. So, you know, Jimmy G's saying his arm's just not all the way there. He's not 100%, not in sync. You got to still win those games. Because I don't know how many times he just wakes up, gets up, goes, their arm feels like a cannon. Right. I got it today. I don't think that happens that often.
And how often does that happen to Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Or it's the NFL.
Yeah.
You're going to wake up and you're not going to feel great. I'm not indifferent to Jimmy Garoppolo spending training camp on another field, mm-hmm. not having the playbook, having to get thrown in on the fly. I actually, like, I am certainly not as bullish as I think a lot of Niner fans were on when Trey Lance was healthy. There was a huge undercurrent of Niner fans, a very significant amount of Niner fans that were like, I don't know why we're doing this. Jimmy keeps getting screwed. Been to the Super Bowl, NFC Championship game. We lost to the eventual, you know, 2 out of 3 years we've lost in the playoffs to the eventual Super Bowl champion. We were this close to having not one, if not one, two Super Bowl rings with Jimmy under center.
Right.
So there was a huge contingent of that. And I remember just absolutely hating that thought process. Like, guys, have you not seen him play? They're winning despite him. He's not that great. They can do better. That's what they saw. That's I don't know if Lance is the guy, but that's why they did that. And so you're on one side of the pendulum there. Now we've swung over the other side of the pendulum, which is like, Jimmy Garoppolo's trash. There's no excuse for how he's operating at all. And if you defend him, then you don't know football and you just have it out for Trey Lance because Trey Lance deserved better. Okay, you can do the following at the same time. You can believe that Trey Lance was unfairly criticized at times.
Yeah.
And you can also believe that, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo was thrown into this, and he's not as bad as he was last week. It's okay to say that. But joining us right now is a guy that knows far more about the position than we'll ever know or forget. He was a star at UC Davis. You heard him many, many, many times throwing those passes right here on Sports 1140 KHDK, now Sacktown Sports. And I saw him online. And didn't even realize it was him. I want to plug his Twitter account, at the QB, as in quarterback school. And I know he's got several platforms for this, including YouTube. And I just remember hearing this guy breaking down Jimmy Garoppolo film. And I am a sucker for this stuff, especially when I don't understand half of it. And then I did some diving, and hey, it's JT O'Sullivan. That JT O'Sullivan, who joins us right now to talk a little bit about Jimmy Garoppolo and friends. JT, it's Dave. It's Jason Ross. Good morning. How are you?
What's up, fellas? I'm excited to be on. This is one of my favorite channels.
Nice.
You had a lot of fun on this channel, and I will never forget the JT O'Sullivan-Anime Ojo connection. I reference it more often than one would think. And here you are back. You've had quite the career, quite the life, and I love what you're doing on the QB school stuff, JT.
Oh, well, I appreciate the kind words. I'm certainly having fun with it. It's my own little niche that I really enjoy, but it's fun to kind of give back and share about a game that gave me so much.
So when you're breaking down these QBs, let's start with one we spent a lot of time talking about, Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you see? What do you see with Jimmy's film? What are you looking for? Kind of give us some intel there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's certainly a tough situation this week. But I think everybody, you know, as much as we like to overreact to one game or one bad performance, I think that Jimmy Garoppolo has proven that he can win and win consistently in the league. And so I would imagine him to be able to bounce back and be a hell of a lot more consistent really quickly. But, man, that film from that last game was tough to watch on a number of different levels. But I don't think it was just Jimmy. I think it's easy to kind of say, hey, the quarterback didn't play well, so we didn't play well. But I think collectively they didn't play that well and would look for them to bounce back in a strong way.
JT, you know, we look at Denver's three games and they've allowed – very few points, which would point to that defense being pretty darn decent. Also, Garoppolo had gotten thrown in the first quarter after the Lance injury, as you know. So I'll ask you, how much of this do you put on Jimmy himself, and how much of it do you think is also extenuating circumstances and what put him under center?
Well, I mean, I think it can be both, and it can be a pretty even split. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not an easy narrative, and it makes you dive a little bit deeper. But I think that Jimmy, the way that Jimmy plays the position and has played it over the course of his career, can allow you to win football games consistently at a high level in the regular season. Now, the reason that they went out to get Trey Lance were probably numerous, but the ones that I think of are Trey Lance's potential to create explosive plays and stretch the field vertically with his arm, bigger arm. And so you're not going to be able to do that with Garoppolo. But what you can do is you can protect, you can throw over the middle on time, you can distribute the ball the way that they have the last few years, and I would imagine them to fall back into that pace moving forward. But I don't think it was – my thing about it was they didn't do a whole lot to help Garoppolo, whether that was issues up front, whether that was Kittle maybe not being 100% able to stretch the field over the middle where he likes to go with the ball. You know, those types of things that constricted the game plan even more so than maybe Jimmy not getting a training camp or Jimmy, you know, who knows, not being potentially 100% healthy. All those types of things compound to make it even uglier of a performance.
JT, I'm curious, we brought up Trey Lance and the things you brought up of what they see potentially in him. When you've seen him, I know it's a small sample size. Do you see what the Niners see? Do you think Trey Lance has that potential to do all those things that they potentially believe he can do?
Yeah, I certainly do think that. I don't think there's anything on film that makes you feel like he can't do that. You know, we've seen the explosiveness. We've seen the athletic ability. We've seen the arm strength. We've seen the capacity to stretch the ball down the field. And I would imagine, as hard as this is for NFL fans and people that love ball to get, is that quarterbacks develop at different paces. And I think he needs to play. You know, unfortunately, didn't play last year. Injuries now. But when we see him play, I would imagine that his trajectory of improvement will look a lot like what these other guys that have been picked in the first round have looked like, as far as getting better quickly while also being explosive in the process.
JT O'Sullivan, that's right, UC Davis is JT O'Sullivan, San Francisco 49ers, JT O'Sullivan, now at the QB school, and we will make sure to plug that before we finish up with JT. One thing specifically, you, and again, I invite you guys to go watch JT's videos. They're absolutely amazing. And you talked about what you call, quote, the lucky safety. And I'll read what you tweeted here. You said, I have a lot of questions and concerns here. In short, it's on Jimmy, but the play call is rough here and the pass protection is not good enough. It can be all of those things. Roll through that play real quick and the major issues you had with that outside of Jimmy.
Well, a few things. The first thing, play call wise, that play was a shot play down the field. They're trying to, what a lot of people will call a leak play, where they try to sneak the tight end across on a shallow and then up the sidelines like on a wheel to the opposite side. And so it takes time to develop. Now, the 49ers have had a lot of success with that play. A lot of teams have had a lot of success with that play. But it takes time, and it takes a deep drop. And when you're on the 2-yard line or whatever they were on, you're looking at a 10-yard drop. You're pushing the back line of an end line. And so for that call there, I think it's at least reasonable to question, hey, is this really the best call for us right here in this spot? And then you couple that with the fact that the nose tackle beats the right guard and right tackle. You couple that with Juszczyk on the edge playing a wing, gets beat and thrown to the ground. And now we've got issues in our front, on our front set face, which makes us back up. And I get it. We can't back up. We need to know where we are. But, you know, that's a decent example of a really bad play where they actually got lucky. But was it just Jimmy? It was certainly Jimmy with an element of it, and then coupling it with a, you know, almost disaster pick six. But I feel like the structure and scaffolding around him on that play didn't allow him, put him in a good situation to be successful.
JT, you know the nature of talk radio. We get a lot of people that call in or text and just say, you know, they question the play calling sometimes of a Kyle Shanahan. By and large, much like a player, they're going to make mistakes. Do you think Kyle calls a good game?
I think he's got the reputation well-deserved as being a great play caller in the league. The things that I think he does really well are layer game plans and make things look similar. So the run game and the play action game is perfectly mirrored. I think that the potential gaps for what I would say for what, where you could look for more improvement is sometimes, as cool as it is to see Deebo Samuel in the backfield and the wide back stuff and the screens, sometimes it's also cool to just throw it down the field and take a shot and get guys off of us and maybe do a double move on the perimeter. And so there are different ways to maybe allow Garoppolo to, maybe he doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but stretch us vertically to feel like we can get the defense off us so that they're not sitting on all those in-breaking routes, making everything so difficult to throw. But yeah, overall, I think he's proven that he's one of the best in-game play callers. Now, Do the plans look similar because we have had so much internal staff turnover? You know, do they have that, the amount of comprehensive volume of offense that maybe they've had in the past because of the staff turnover? You know, I think time will tell. But as far as a play caller, you know, he's got to be up there in the league.
JT, I want people to see the work you're putting in on social media, on your website. I can tell you, y'all, at the QB is in quarterback school on Twitter. Where would you direct everybody to see your stuff?
YouTube is kind of the central home mm-hmm. for the majority of the stuff. And then I honestly have fallen into this and really, really enjoy it way more than I thought I would have. So that kind of then branches out into a bunch of different elements, whether it's courses, whether it's a Patreon community, whether it's the social media. And I just try to have as much fun as I can and, you know, not walk into any hornet's nests of any fans that are really pissed and think their quarterback is better than the film.
Yeah, also screw the Hornets, right? I mean, come on, JT, right? Aggie.
I never miss a jab there, but they're looking great.
They are.
They found their secret sauce and some. So that level of football, good football, kind of raises the tide for everyone. So I'm always pulling for the Big Sky FCS.
Amen. At the QB school, that's got the YouTube, that's got the quick game passing course links on there as well. And I really, really invite y'all to take a look. JT, pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much, and we look forward to having you on again in the future.
All right, y'all. Have a good one. Go Aggs.
All right, go Aggs.
Thank you.
Take care. He had that little Hornets jab in there.
Yeah.
And then he brought it back.
He tried to get him to say more.
When we get back, been Hornets hive here, literally. When we get back, Brett Favre, he's a piece of trash. We'll explain why he's even trashier than you already thought he was. Coming up right after this.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. You know they've been here for a combined 50 years. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports 1140.
Sorry, I just got a tweet notification. Elon Musk just tweeted, Cybertruck will be waterproof enough to serve briefly as a boat, so it can cross rivers, lakes, and even seas that aren't too choppy, which obviously sounds half-jokey, but Cybertruck ever going to come out? They've been promising that sucker for like 5 years. Remember when he threw the baseball through the window? What is coming out is how much of a turd Brett Favre is. Now, we already knew Brett Favre was kind of, you know.
He had turd tendencies?
Yeah, he was definitely trending turdly, if not in Turdland, with some of his past transgressions.
The mayor of Turdland.
He is now the president of Turdland. In addition to stealing money from poor people and designating it so that his daughter could have a volleyball facility at his alma mater, he also has a charity, Favre for Hope. Turns out that Favre for Hope, which the mission statement says the following, just so you understand. Not you, but you know,
yeah.
The royal. Says it provides support, quote, for disadvantaged and disabled children and breast cancer patients. So I was not aware of this, but apparently there are a bunch of disabled people with breast cancer that play volleyball for the University of Southern Mississippi. Yes, yes, because.
Well, good, they're getting help.
They are getting help, the help they need, Jason, because for a 2-year period, his charity donated more than $130,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi Athletic Foundation. During that same period, that's when he was trying to raise money for a new volleyball stadium where he played football and his daughter was on the volleyball team. Tax records show that in 2018, the foundation gave the Mississippi Athletic Foundation $60,000. Every other organization received $10,000. Athletic Foundation in 2019, $47,000. The next highest donation was to the Special Olympics of Mississippi with $11,000. And it just goes on and on and on. Between 2011 and 2017, the year his daughter enrolled at the University of Southern Mississippi, Favre for Hope gave the Athletic Foundation a combined almost $48,000. When his daughter did play volleyball, in 2015, $60,000. I'm sorry. His daughter was playing volleyball for Oak Grove High School, and the foundation gave that school $60,000. So not only do we know that Brett Favre in cahoots with the governor and a few other people were trying to redirect millions of dollars from, again, literally the poorest people in the country, Mississippi.
And take it for himself or other entities, that he was supporting.
He got $1.1 million for speaking engagements he never did. He's now paid it back, but they're saying, hold on, you still owe us almost $300,000 in interest. He hasn't paid that back yet. So he took millions of dollars and had it redirected out of the funds for poor people to his daughter's volleyball facility. Turns out before that, and again, the mission statement, Favre for Hope, provide support, quote, for disadvantaged and disabled children and breast cancer patients. Took the money that was designed for that. People donating money because they love Brett Favre.
Sure.
And they thought, well, I love Brett Favre and I love where the money's going. So let's, I want to help. You know what? Disabled kids, huge fan of helping them.
Mm-hmm.
People with breast cancer, huge fan of helping them. Probably weren't donating the money to get Brett to be able to build his daughter a volleyball facility. I got a daughter. I'm up for helping her out.
You'd like her to have a facility, wouldn't
you? I'd love for her to have
a big
trumpet facility she can play her trumpet at. I want my son to have a soccer or basketball. I love it. You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to say, hey, Kings fans, I need you to help out kids with cancer. So donate to, Dave's charity, whatever. And then, I'm going to take most of that money and spend it on Avery and Mason's trumpet.
You're
basketball.
Not going to do that?
No, I'm not. I want to be clear. I'm not going to do that.
You're not doing it right.
Let me also be clear. If I did do that, I should be put in jail.
Yeah.
And Brett Favre should be put in jail.
And those others that are supporting him. One you know, government officials. And I mean, there's. It's not just Brett Favre.
It's not. You're
and
right.
I'm not saying, hey, be easy on Brett Favre.
No.
Just there needs to be others with him.
And to be extremely clear, at least a couple others have already gone to jail. There's a lot of investigating going on right now. But I don't really have hate in my heart, and I don't necessarily feel great saying this out loud, but again, this is a safe zone where we're always honest. Here's what I want. Again, provided all these allegations are true, and it sure sounds like they are. I mean, you have texts that have been subpoenaed and found. You have transcripts. But again, innocent until proven guilty.
Sure.
I would like there to be a pay-per-view in which the government, police, FBI, whatever it is, they literally raid Brett Favre's house at like 2 a.m. and they take him out in his pajamas and they have handcuffs and leg irons on him. And he is perp walked to the car and then put in the jail. I would like them to sell that on pay-per-view for $9.99. And I would purchase that just to watch him let out in leg irons. And then all the money goes towards poor people in Mississippi and disabled children and breast cancer survivors.
Remember when he was coming back like multiple times and they used to show him like it was almost like the slow speed chase. They had like the helicopter that was watching him,
yes.
His car drive to the high school and same idea. It's just different results. We're not worrying about him playing quarterback again.
You know what kind of sucks? I don't know why. Okay. On the list of people I feel bad for, I want to be clear. This is like 17 millionth on the list. But I can completely see a situation where Brett Favre's daughter's like, Dad, what?
Yeah, I didn't know you did that.
Everyone thinks I'm an idiot now. I didn't ask for any of this. And I'm as bad as you. Like, that's something where it's like she's
guilty by association.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I don't know. Maybe behind the scenes she was like, Dad, I need this facility, Dad.
Daddy.
Use them Wranglers for some good. Yes. Get some money. And by the way, not like Brett Favre didn't make any money.
He's done okay. Yeah.
It's not like he was some athlete in the 70s that made $90,000 a year.
And had a second job.
Yeah. No, he made a little bit of cash. I don't know, man. What I do know is I got plans tomorrow at 10 a.m. Oh, that's right. I got plans. This weekend is the grand opening of Amy Ace Hardware and Amy's Outdoor Living, their second location. El Dorado Hills Town Center. I know a couple people up there. Amy Ace Hardware has been family-owned for more than 100 years. I've been going there since I was a child. I'd roll through and be like, Dad, I don't want to go. I don't care about your garden stuff. And then next thing you know, it was like a summer morning, and I was walking around in the garden area, smelling all the smells, eating my free popcorn. Well, now they're opening up their second location for the first time ever. And this is a place that has been family-owned for more than 100 years. It's a big deal. So Friday morning, 10 a.m., I'll be with the Traeger Pellet Grill rep, learning how everything works on the Traeger. Saturday, Sunday, there'll be free hot dogs from 11 to 2. Come on, free hot dogs. Hello. This is America. Don't miss it. Inside the hardware store, Amy's Outdoor Living, a store within a store with a huge selection of outdoor furniture, barbecue grills, fire pits, and more. Come to the grand opening, one of Sacramento's oldest heritage businesses, Amy Ace Hardware, Amy Outdoor Living, El Dorado Town Center, Highway 50, Latrobe Road exit. Hope to see you out there. News, notes, celebrity birthdays. And why is the UFC happening this weekend in front of nobody? It's not COVID. We'll tell you next.
When it comes to the Kings,
nobody has you covered like we do.
We are here with Harrison Barnes.
Until we all get into the fray and we say, man, you know, we went on the road and we beat this team. Like, that was a great experience. Or I think that's what we need. And I'm looking forward to going to battle with these guys. I mean, it's a great group of guys, all high character.
The best Kings talk.
The flagship.
Hey, Sacramento, it's Harrison Barnes, and you're listening to the home of the Sacramento Kings, Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader. What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Air and Solar, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Who is
hot? Who?
Hot.
Who is hot?
No. Eduardo Escobar. Eduardo Escobar drove in all five of the Mets' runs last night and walked off the Marlins in the 10th inning. He's the first Mets player with a five RBI game, including a walk-off since...
Who?
Bobby Bonilla. 1993. Who's not?
Who's not?
San Francisco 49ers quarterbacks.
Whatever.
Through three games, the combination of Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance is 30th out of 32 teams in passing yards.
Oh, so not the worst.
All that tells me is that there's two worse.
Behind Baker Mayfield in Carolina, or in front of, excuse me.
And?
Justin Fields, all the way back there, number 32.
Who beat the Niners?
Hush.
Mm. Wow. There's a hush that fell over the crowd.
You hushed. You hushed all over the crowd.
Ew.
News and notes now.
Stand by on this frequency.
It's time for the news of the day.
Thank you for ruining the show and dropping a steamer on my journalistic integrity.
Today's important headlines, intelligent analysis, hard-hitting interviews.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
Here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Oh my God, I love those guys.
Hey, on this day in 1954.
Okay.
This happened.
There's a long drive, way back in center field, way back, it is.
It's tough to hear.
Willie Mays, I heard.
Willie Mays! Willie Mays with the catch and throw. People forget about the throw. At the Polo Grounds. Now listen, I don't think that's the best catch of all time. I think Jim Edmonds had, like, minimum three or four better catches than that catch from Willie Mays. But I think what people tend to miss sometimes in these are you combine... First off, the Polo Grounds, the outfield was, like, 7 miles deep. Like, it was ridiculous. Secondly, it was an amazing catch.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, the presence of mind to make the throw. And fourth, it was game one of the World Series. You add all those things together, there's a wonderful, wonderful argument... That was the greatest catch ever of all time. You know, Aaron Judge tied Roger Maris's American League home run record yesterday with a 61st. Do you know how many years ago Roger Maris set that record?
61.
That is correct. 61 years ago, Aaron Judge has tied the record, and he did it on his hardest home run of the season last night.
That was interesting. Wow. I read that. I didn't. Well, obviously, it's factually true. I didn't think it was.
No, it was. I mean, that was a.
Thought it took something off it.
You know what? That was like a. Like that Stanton shot that won the game, the grand slam. Yeah. It was just a laser to left field, and Frankie Lasagna dropped it.
Sorry, Frankie. He was going through some things afterwards, too.
Is that Frankie R. Frankie's alias?
Oh, no, Frankie Garcelli?
Yeah, he's a Yankees fan.
Oh. But he would have caught it.
I think he would have caught it.
Yeah.
It would have been very nice to it, too.
Yes.
Frankie definitely would have given the ball back.
Yeah,
I think so. Not all good for Aaron Judge, though, as he's not only fighting for the Triple Crown and the home run record, but also, you know, going back and forth with Shohei Ohtani in the hearts and minds of MVP voters. This may be what sinks him. Aaron Judge has struck out 167 times so far this season. I think it's actually a little bit higher now. Tony Gwynn struck out 167 times in the 90s. That's more about Tony Gwynn than Aaron
Judge. Did Tony Gwynn hit 60 home runs in the 90s?
He did.
Okay.
Not ever.
Tony Gwynn, contact hitter.
I don't know. Did Tony Gwynn hit 61 home runs?
Yes.
I think so.
I want to say, hey, I think his career high for home runs is 27.
Really?
If it's like celebrity birthdays.
Why do I feel like
I'm going to take the under on that.
Why do I feel like Jason is exactly correct?
I feel like it's 27 or 29, and I hope I'm right. You're going
to
find it.
Let's see. We're going to Tony Gwynn's stats right now, live on the radio.
Maybe I just made that up.
Tony Gwynn has 135 home runs.
Okay.
And you said his...
27.
27. You are close. Yeah. In 1997, he hit 17.
Not that close.
Super close.
You were just a numeral off.
17. He actually had 1, 2, 3, 4. Nope, that's triples. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 years with double-digit home runs. What was the year that Bonds broke the record?
03?
02?
Or 01?
Was it 01?
I think it was 01 or 03. I think it's 01, actually. Who cares? It's fake.
Well, here's what I'm saying. In 1996, Tony Gwynn hit 3 home runs, and then he hit 17, 16, and 10.
Are you inferring something?
Not Tony Gwynn. And you know what? If Tony Gwynn juiced, I don't care. He's Tony Gwynn, and I love him.
Yeah. Tony Gwynn didn't have the body of a juicer.
No, he did not.
He just had juice.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Orange or apple, you think?
Guy, he was the best. Rest in peace, Tony.
Yes.
Finally, before we get to what day it is, the UFC, why say it like, the UFC.
The Ultimate Fighting Championships.
Has a fight night. UFC fight night coming up this Saturday at their Apex facility in Las Vegas. And it has been closed to the public and media. Aww. This is a sudden thing. When asked about it, Dana White said that he, quote, just wanted to give the media a night off.
Oh.
But women's strawweight contender Mackenzie Dern, who is fighting in the main event, why'd I say it like a pirate there? She said to reporters, the reason behind the closure is Mark Zuckerberg.
Huh?
Right, what? Quote, I know Mark Zuckerberg rented out the whole event. I know he'll be there. I don't know if it's literally him or his wife or that friend, some type of party. But from someone who wanted a main event with a crowd, it's now going to be very, very private. Zuckerberg's 38, known to be a big fan of mixed martial arts. Okay, listen, I get it, and I heard you, and I hear you.
What? I didn't say anything.
Here's the thing, dude. If I was 38 and worth like $50 billion, I think one of the bucket list things I would do would be to rent out a UFC and watch it with my friends.
There's more to it than that.
Well, like what?
They're probably trying out some stupid metaverse thing. We don't need live fans. We can have everyone put on our headgear and be right there.
I mean, I get that, and that would be lame, but I'm just saying, I would do that. Hey, buddies. What are you doing this Saturday? We're all going to Vegas.
Buddies.
Hey, that's how I call it.
Do you think he has friends? He doesn't even have a soul.
Hello, fellow kids. Today is Urban National Wildlife Refuge Day. World Heart Day.
Okay.
National VFW Day.
Thank God.
Thank you for your service. And National Coffee Day.
I had 3 cups this morning.
Jason, you are not a coffee drinker, correct?
No, I never have a second one at home.
No, you don't. I've noticed that. Are you a tea drinker?
Nope.
What is your hot beverage of choice? Do you have one?
Hot toddies.
Hot toddies with that extra toddy? Hot chocolate?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Just not a hot drinker.
Soup?
You know, nothing wrong with...
Oh, God, here we
there's
go.
There's nothing wrong with a little chicken the broth
soup
in a thermos.
Soup a beverage? Next King's Media
is soup
Day.
Soup a sandwich?
Celebrity birthdays. It's like I don't have a defense. I'm just rolling with it.
Okay. Happy birthday on this September 29th. We mentioned him earlier in the show. Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Cal John. What do we call him?
Cal Joe. That's what his friends call him.
Yes.
Cal Joe.
Cal Joe.
Calvin Johnson is how old?
Cal Joe is... He's 45.
Cal Joe's 38.
He is 37 today.
That's so ridiculous.
You're an ageist.
I am.
Happy birthday to, I think the real one, could be his burner, Kevin Durant.
I see what you did there.
Kevin Durant is 30. Damn it. I'm going
to be really
I'm gonna
close
be off
on
by
this.
One.
Yeah, plus KD, minus has to be one on this for either of you.
Kevin Durant is 33.
I think it's 35.
I think it's 34. Yeah,
he's 34.
I knew it.
We win.
It was 33 or 34.
Great balls of fire. Goodness gracious. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Is still alive.
Yeah, still
going. How weird is that? Went down, by the way, went down a Billy Joel.
That's good.
You know, whatever dive yesterday. And the reason why, this is tying back to...
A lot of great songs.
Yeah, a lot of great songs. Also, like, I mean, we know about Jerry Lee Lewis and, you know, who he married and how, you know.
Sonny Ono?
Billy Joel.
I mean, Yoko Ono?
Billy Joel's last wife was Alexis Roderick, and he married her in 2015, so that was 7 years ago, right?
Jeremy's sister, right?
No. Huh? So Billy Joel, 7 years ago, was 65 years old.
Okay.
Okay. His wife, now wife, was like 24. There's literally a 40-year difference.
Anyways, Jerry Lee Lewis is how old?
95.
93.
87. Happy birthday to Andrew Dice Clay.
ADC. Hey.
Hickory Dickory Dock.
What's the rest?
I'd like to match my socks.
That's it.
Andrew Dice Clay is 60.
Andrew Dice Clay is 64.
Andrew Dice Clay is 65.
Wow.
How about Halsey? Do you know Halsey?
He does not know Halsey.
Okay, we'll move
the
on from Halsey.
Suppressor.
Bryant Gumbel.
Oh!
Bryant Gumbel.
BG.
Happy birthday, Bryant Gumbel. You are 77.
Who's older, Bryant or Craig?
Bryant.
I'm going to go 78.
74.
Oh. Wow, I won.
And we'll finish with Ken Norton Jr.
Ken Norton Jr., not senior, but junior. Ken Norton Jr. is 50.
57.
56.
Wow. I
want to crack at Halsey?
Yeah. Halsey is 29.
Jay, 31.
28. Dave wins.
Yes, I won the last one, too. For Jay, for JT O'Sullivan, for Jason, I'm Dave. We'll see you tomorrow. Jim Rome is next. Bye-bye.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.